Good morning. Lindsay and I are going to be talking a little bit about listening prayer, or I'm going to be talking about listening prayer. Lindsay's actually going to lead us in a listening prayer exercise together, a practice. And so really excited. That's really the most important thing, is actually doing the practice together. So let's see. What no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. So what listening prayer is about, I mean, everyone, if they're a disciple or not, prays at some time. And as disciples, we pray, and we've been trained to pray certain ways, right? When we're praying for other people to become Christians, when we're praying about requests that we have. Today, we're going to be talking about a different kind of prayer, more about listening prayer. And so what to listen for is God's voice is always consistent with his word. He's never, when we think we're hearing God's voice, it's never going to contradict something in the scriptures. But his voice is quiet, inaudible. Sometimes I wish he would speak up louder. And honestly, in my experience, what I hear from God more than anything else is wait. And that speaks a lot to the character that he's trying to form in me. He speaks clearly if we listen for his Spirit to speak, tune our hearts to him, and hear him in reading the word. So as you prepare for listening prayer and for the discernment of God's will through listening prayer, these are a couple of questions you might want to ask. What would Jesus have me do? What is the Spirit leading me to do? And of course, it will help to be in a more contemplative state. And I know Lindsay, as she leads us in this practice, is going to help us with that as we do this in community. There are some things as you're preparing for listening prayer, some things that you need to maybe distinguish what you're hearing. Sometimes we can hear those to-do lists in our head. We can hear the enemy's accusations. We can hear other people's expectations of us or our own expectations of ourselves. So here's a list of some things that you might want to, as you're doing this, Lindsay's going to lead us today, but as you're practicing listening prayer personally, these are some good practices, some good questions to ask yourself. And today, what Lindsay's going to be leading us in is two questions for discernment in community. Of course, the first one is that will lead us into that is, in what area of my life do I need healing? No one gets out of this life unscathed. You know, the enemy comes at us from the time we're really young. It comes through us all through our life. And there are things that we get hurt. Even being members of the church, we can get hurt. And we have been hurt. And I've hurt other people. So you know, are there areas of my life that I need healing? I'm asking God to show me that. And then in community, the more of the community question is, how can I partner with you, Jesus, to journey with others in healing?
So I'm excited to offer a practice. Some of you may be familiar with this type of praying already. Specifically listening prayer, you know, we have a lot of questions. Sometimes we have a lot of questions. We have questions about how to move in our lives, which direction to go. A lot of transitions can be coming up. Job changes, school, relationships, all kinds of questions. And we can put them before God. I don't know about you. This practice has helped me in even resolving conflict, coming to community. You know, we all can hurt each other. We all can say things that hurt each other's feelings. We all can get hurt. This has helped me be in a posture of listening for God and tuning out the dialogue and argument and great points and everything I can have in my own head as I can replay and replay and replay conversations I think might be coming my way. This has helped me, help put me in a position of, God, I need to humble my heart. I need to still myself before Him. And I need to listen to the Spirit to help grow my character to be a reflection of Jesus in all circumstances and all situations, right? So I'd like to ask you guys to get in a comfortable position. If you feel so moved to close your eyes, it's fine if you would like to have a notebook and just take some notes. And I'd like, as we prepare to ask the questions to God that Jim mentioned, to settle your body. I'll offer some different prompts to guide us in a posture of listening. I'll read a scripture. I'll guide you through using your imagination in some ways. And I'll pause after each time to give you a moment to just reflect. There's no right or wrong way to do this. Just ask you to be still and try to still the voices in your head. And let's turn our focus to God and be present to Him as He's present, and acknowledge His presence with you and with all of us. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me, but I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. I have calmed and quieted my soul. Jesus, you are enough. I'd like to ask you to use your imagination. Put yourself outside. Look around. Be reminded of the vastness of God. Think about the expanse of the sky and all that works together that our eyes cannot see. Look at the ground. Imagine the intricacy of activity below the ground that has a life of its own. Imagine the wind swaying the trees, gently brushing against your face, reminding you that the Spirit blows where it will, unable to be contained. That Spirit is in us. Take a deep breath in, open to the life-giving presence of God in you. You are His beloved. As you breathe out, Let go of the activities and thoughts that have filled your week, your day. Feel your breath as you still yourself. As we prepare to listen, pray for a holy indifference, releasing any ego, personal opinions, desired outcomes, advantages, prestige, strong attachments. Let them go. And listen for any ways you feel resistance in your body, wanting to disengage, feelings, thoughts of why does this matter? Remember God's pleasure as we are here together seeking His presence. We come seeking unity and transformation to be more aware of God's love and His presence. In silence, let us acknowledge each other as equals. Each person here is beloved by God, is important, is needed. Prepare your heart to be vulnerable. Prepare your heart to be surprised by God. Prepare to deeply listen, to listen with your entire self, your senses, your feelings, intuition, imagination, your thoughts. If you notice yourself getting distracted, gently turn your attention back to listening. After I ask the questions, I'll give you a few minutes to listen and reflect. Note what comes to mind or anything you hear God speaking into you. It may be another question, a scripture, a thought. And then I'll close us with a psalm. Let's give our questions to God. Lord, in prayer we ask, in what areas of my life do I need healing? And Lord, we ask, how can I partner with you, Jesus, to journey with others in healing? I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Amen. Let's welcome Anna and Abe De Leon.
Hello, church. And thanks, Jim and Lindsay. That was so great. You know, it's something that we always need to learn, listening prayer. And I'm Abe, and this is my wife, Anna, and we serve currently as one of the campus shepherds here at North River. And, you know, Anna and I, we feel very honored and privileged for being able to share our communion message today, because honestly, if you think about it, it's one of the most important parts of the worship service. It's time that we reflect. It's a time that we meditate. It's a time that we remember on what Jesus has done. And, you know, as I was thinking about what I'd like to share, you know, the thing that came to my mind is, you know, talking about peace in the midst of trouble, weathering life storms. And as we think about this topic, right, there are some few questions that I would like us to reflect and to think about, right, as we sit in our chairs here today. If you can, at this point in time, remember a time in your life that you faced a trial or a storm, and how did you respond? Right? And for some of us, it may be multiple trials. It may be multiple storms. And, you know, as you think about it, right, it could be in the area of health. It could be in the area of family. It could be a financial challenge or anything else, right? And how did you respond? And the other question I'd like for us to think about is, what was your go-to scripture or scriptures in being able, you know, to handle these challenging times? I know for me and my wife, right, and our kids, you know, we have experienced a number of intense trials and challenges in life. And, you know, as I look back, although we are not perfect, you know, in being able to face some of these intense challenge. But the thing that we always did was to look to Jesus and the cross for answers. And, you know, I could say that we've suffered a number of battle scars, you know, in several of the areas that I talked about, finances, family, health, name it. Right. And, you know, one of the scriptures that I'd like to share, and I think Tom shared it this morning, is in, you know, which I think encapsulates how we need to, you know, how we need to look at these trials and challenges that we face in life, in John 16:33. And I'll read both the International Version, New International Version, and the New Living Translation. In the NIV, it reads, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." And in the New Living Translation, it says, "I have told you this so that you may have peace in me." Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. And that's really a true statement. But Jesus also said, take heart because I have overcome the world. And, you know, as you take a look at these scriptures, right, there are a few things that you can learn from it. The first thing that Jesus said to his disciples is, in me, you may have peace. And if you take a look at chapter 16, right, these are, you know, Jesus was talking to his disciples, and he was, you know, he was telling them about that, you know, you guys will be suffering, you will be scattered, you know, you will leave me. But he also told him that you would rejoice after mourning for a while. He told them that, you know, the Holy Spirit will be guiding them through all these things, right? And he assured them in this passage that in him there will be peace. And, you know, the other thing that, you know, I talked about that you can learn from this passage is, you know, although the Christian life is a very meaningful and it's a great life, you know, it's life that has a lot of meaning, but challenges and troubles happen in our life. And some of us, we should not be surprised that this happens because this will always happen to us, right? And this really crushes the doctrine of the prosperity gospel, right? That although the life of a Christian is very rewarding, but it will not be in the absence of trouble. And obviously, the last thing we can learn from this is that we need to take courage in Christ's victory. Because he was already victorious, and he assured his disciples that in me you will have peace, and in me you can be assured that you will also be victorious. And I'd like my wife for a few minutes to share some of the challenges that we have experienced as a family.
So I have a thing or two, about a dozen or so trials I could share. But I'm going to limit that. You know, let's go back to about 20 years ago. Things were peachy for us as disciples with small children. And we decided to buy this beautiful piece of land at the foothills of Harriman State Park in New York. And we were going to build our dream house. We started to do that. We met a builder through church who we thought was going to be somebody who was a reliable builder. Unbeknownst to us, he abandoned that project halfway through and used our construction funds to fund his other projects. So we were left with a house that was half built, and long and short of it, there were legal matters we had to deal with. And at that time also, it was a time as well when the church then was going through an upheaval, and that resulted in many of my close friends leaving the church. And some of my other close friends became like the birds who migrated south. So I felt really alone. I felt alone, unsupported. It was a really tough time. You know, that was a pivotal moment in my walk with God, because that really put me in a position where I had to revisit this. Was I really converted to Jesus? Or was I converted to the community, the support, my close friends, the warmth of the fellowship? It made me really think about that. And now, looking back now, I'm so glad that God put that trial in my path, because I wouldn't be standing here in front of you today if not for that. So, you know, that allowed me to get stronger as a Christian, as a follower of Christ. And, you know, fast forward 20 years later, in early 2021, Abe was diagnosed with prostate cancer. And, you know, anytime you hear the C word, it's always a scary thing, right? And, you know, we thought it was going to be, okay, it's early stages, it's going to be okay, well, we've got this, you know, God's got this. But then, you know, later in 2021, another test revealed that the cancer had gotten aggressive very quickly, and it warranted treatment, you know, immediately. So that was a really tough part, because while I felt in that position like being alone, because, oh my goodness, we were going through some other stuff related to family, and I wanted to insulate Abe from a lot of things because I didn't want him to go through stress, and I felt once again, you know, alone. But again, that was really pivotal. It's amazing how you think back about victories that Jesus had given you. You know, and you just think back, that puts you in a different mode of helping you to be in a position to remember that you've been through this before, Anna. God's got you. He's got you again. So again, refocusing on Jesus, it really helped me. I mean, we did sing that song, Jesus at the Center of It All, right? It really boils down to that. Jesus at the center. I tell my daughter this all the time. You know, honey, in life, people, the most spiritual of your friends will come, will go, you know, for good reasons, for not so great reasons. But Jesus is always there at the center. And cling on to that, and it's all going to be okay. So, you know, great victory. It's been about 6 months that Abe has been in remission. And thank you for all your prayers.
So I just wanted to add to what my wife shared, right? And this ties into what Jim and Lindsay shared. When I got the news that I had, that my cancer became aggressive, you know, that really did not impact me. Or during the treatment itself, you know, I was there in Florida for 2 months. What impacted me the most was the choice of treatment plans. There's about 12 treatment plans, you know, when you have prostate cancer, right? And I talked to several doctors, I talked to several patients, I read books, and people were telling me, this is the greatest treatment, you gotta do this. The patients were telling me this experience. No, you got to do this. You got to do this. My wife even had a preference. And she was pushing me towards a certain treatment. And during that time, I was very overwhelmed and did not know what to do. And that was a very overwhelming time. And Lindsay and Jim calls it listening prayer, and at that time, and I'm glad they taught that, I called it meditation. I really tried to listen to God's voice. It took me a few weeks. God, I am confused. I am hearing a lot of voices. Please, God, tell me exactly what you wanted me to do. And like what Jim said, you know, there were days that nothing. I did not feel anything. There was nothing. But it took a few weeks for me, you know, to be able to, you know, to eventually felt that voice in God and that peace in God, that this is the treatment plan that I would like you to do. And thank God that, you know, He directed me to that. And, you know, that not that I'm out of the woods. We continue to pray. I continue to have checkups. But I felt so grateful that I applied that meditative prayer or the listening prayer, because it is so helpful, especially in intense times that you really, really need to make a decision. So as we wrap up, you know, this communion message, right, I'd like us to remember what Christ has done for us, right? And, you know, one of the things that, you know, I would like to say is that, you know, and Christ said this, that instead of promising to eliminate trouble from our lives, Jesus instead promises to give peace and comfort in the midst of trouble. If some of you guys are facing trials right now, you can have joy while your tears flow. You can rejoice in the midst of pain. You can be courageous even when your strength fails, because your Savior, Jesus Christ, on your sorrow, pain, and weakness will be there for you. And most importantly, he took your sins and nailed it to his cross. Now, and even in your darkest struggle, is part of his good plan to draw you closer to him. And, you know, any trials, right, that we go through, you know, he'll be there for us because he loves us. Let us all pray. Merciful God, our dear loving Father, thank you so much, Father, for who you are. Thank you so much, Father, for just some of the trials that we go through in life, Father, and giving us your word to be able to respond to these trials, Father, in a godly way. Because we know, Lord, that you love us and you're not going to abandon us. And I thank you, Lord, for your word and for Jesus, for showing an example through your word on how we need to respond to the trials and challenges that we face in life. And Father, most of all, Father, I pray that you will help us remember the cross, help us remember what you have done on the cross for our sins, Lord, as we partake of the bread and the juice, which represents your body and your blood, Father. Help us remember not only as we partake of this communion today, but as we do it and we remember you every single day in our lives. All of these things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.